For the past few weeks, we've been in a Christmas series together called All I Want for Christmas. And in this series, we've been talking about the gift that we have in Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, who came that very first Christmas. We talked about the gift of the righteous branch. We talked about the gift of the launderer's soap and how through those gifts of Christ that he seeks to cleanse us from our sins, and he will never give up on us, and he'll provide us a way to overcome our sins. And we're going to continue that series together this morning, and as we've done each morning, we're going to begin by opening a present together. Now, is there anybody that wants to open today's present? I'm going to assume. Oh, hello, Felix. Nobody else wanted to? Nobody other than my kids? Listen, it's because you guys know that the first two presents we gave out were kind of lame, right? Because nobody wants a stick. And soap, I mean, that's like a lame adult present. But I'm telling you, you guys are missing out, because today's present is a real present. It's like a good one. You ready, Felix? Yes, you volunteered yourself for this. All right, buddy. Here. Up. Stand right here. Stand right here. Up. Come around this way. There you go. All right, open it. You can take the bow off. That's just fine. Oh, here. Pull these. Can I help? What is it? What toy is it? It's a house toy. That's right. All right. You taking that with you, or are you leaving that up here with me? All right. That one's a keeper. Yes, today we're talking about the gift of a house, a home. And I think that's something that everybody wants, everybody desires, especially when we're talking about around Christmas. Everybody wants a home, a place where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. A place where you can be accepted, a place where you can be yourself, a place where you can love and be freely loved, a place where you can relax and just not have to worry about all the things that are happening this year. A place to just simply be and be loved. What we want, we desire a home, and probably more at Christmas time than any other time of the year. And I think one of the great tragedies, one of the things that we struggle with as we read through the Christmas story together, is that Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, and nobody would open up their home to baby Jesus. Nobody would open up their doors and make a place for them. There was no home for Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, for God made flesh that very first Christmas. Now, we often talk about how the fact that, you know, well, there was no room in the inn because it was full. Bethlehem was full of people that were there to be counted for the census. You're 100% right. But don't you think that there'd be at least like one person that would say, well, I'll give up my warm place for the night for that lady because she is super pregnant. She looks like she's smuggling watermelons in here. I'm gonna let her have a night inside the home and I will sleep outside. You think there would be at least one person that would do that, right? And making things even more complicated, You know, everybody that's from the family and line of David was there in Bethlehem, which means that Joseph's family should have been there. People that would know them and love them and care about them, right? They'd be willing to open their doors. Only, I suspect that when their family saw Joseph and Mary, they didn't see a virgin pregnant with the promised Messiah, God made flesh. What do they see? A couple who got pregnant out of wedlock and created some cockamamie story to explain it. And they didn't want anything to do with it. And so when Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem that very first Christmas, there was no home for baby Jesus, except a small, humble stable, which, let's be honest, we have glorified and idealized in our culture today. I don't think any of you would want to spend your Christmas in a stable this year. I think you are much happier at your home. It would have stunk, it would have been dirty, it would not have been where you would want to be. And yet part of what is so wonderful and so amazing about Jesus is that even though when he was born into this world, he came into his own and his own received him not, there was no welcoming home for Jesus here on earth. When he grew up, when he entered into his life and ministry, he sought to ensure that each and every one of us could have a home with God. Even though the world didn't want to give a home to Jesus, he made it his desire, his goal, his mission to ensure that everybody in the world could have a home with God if they desired. He speaks of it in John 14, 2-6. He says this, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus says, "I am going to prepare a place, a home for you." And we're told that in this home, there are many rooms. That's important, right? Because when Jesus, Mary, Joseph, they arrived in Bethlehem that first Christmas, there wasn't room. It was full. It was packed. "Sorry, other people got here before you. We turned you away." This home with God, there are many rooms. No one has to be turned away. There's never a no vacancy sign that goes up on this home in heaven. There is a place for each and every person in this world that desires to be with God. All of us can be welcomed home. And what a home it is. Jesus says, "I am going there to prepare a place for you." It is a home that is prepared for us by Christ himself. And I think that's important too, because when most of us imagine that home we have with the Lord forever, for some weird reason, we don't imagine it like a home, like a warm place where you can cuddle up in a big comfy chair by the fire. Why do we always imagine it like just all white glowing clouds and everybody standing around? That's not home. And certainly not a home that's been prepared just for you. I know a lot of you. You will probably see family or even welcome kids or grandkids into your home this Christmas. And aren't you going above and beyond to make sure that that home is just right for them? You've got the stockings hung up with care because, well, you know that your little Marvin will be there. And he loves when you put a little orange for him in the stocking and he can fish it out. You know that when your Harry comes, he's going to say, "Meemaw, Meemaw, can we watch that movie with the boy in the pink bunny costume and the official Red Ryder carbon action BB gun? Can we watch that, Meemaw? And what? Are you going to say, no, we don't have it? No, you got it queued up. You got it ready to go because you know it's his favorite. You know he loves it. So you want to make sure that's there in this welcoming home. And when Kevin comes, Kevin, by the way, is not your grandkid. No, he's your 57-year-old son. But when he comes and asks about the wassail, it's already on the oven. It's already mixing up because he can smell the spices and that sweetness in the air because that's just a part of home for him. You are going out of your way to make sure your home is ready at Christmas. Well, if Jesus is preparing a home for us in heaven, don't you think that it'll be just as wonderful and beautiful and comfy and cozy and welcoming as anything we could do here on earth? This home is amazing. And when we go there, we also get to be with people that love us. That's a part of home as well. And there is no one that loves us more than Jesus. And he says specifically, I'm preparing this home so that you and I can be there together. There is nobody in this world, and this is hard to believe, but there is nobody in this world that loves you more than Jesus does. Do you understand that? Not even your parents, not your kids, not your spouse, not even your faithful dog, Doc McFluffin. None of them love you more than Jesus. Jesus loves you so much that he died on the cross for your sins. We often talk about that, but it's more than just a sacrificial love. Jesus always will do what is best for you. Jesus always sees the potential in you. Jesus is always there by your side. Jesus is never too busy for you. Jesus sees you as you truly are. He sees the good, he sees the bad, and he sees the ugly. He sees the good, the way that you always hold doors open for people. It's just kind of your thing. He sees the bad, the bitterness and anger and jealousy and ugly resentment that just instantly filled your heart when you heard that your sister's husband got her, get this, a Lexus for Christmas. Yes, like with a big obnoxious bow and everything. Like how tacky, how terrible is that that he would do that? Who does that at Christmas? And you just, you hate it, and you're secretly jealous inside your heart. It's just overflowing because you hate it because your husband's not an executive vice president in that way. And so you know that your family could never have something like that. You're filled with resentment towards this person that you should love. And you want to tear down this thing that brings her joy. Jesus sees that. And you know what's so amazing about him? He still loves us. He still loves you just the way you are. And he wants you to be in this home in heaven with him. And that home in heaven, it is perfect. There is no sin there. There are no tears. There is no regret. There is no loss there. There is, unlike in your homes, this Christmas season, there are no arguments or debates over, take your pick, politics, mask policies, whatever you're going to have to deal with. None of that will be there at that home that awaits us in heaven. It will be perfect and without sin. Of course, that does lead to that one tiny little problem. You see, if this house that there's room for us, and it's made for us, and we get to be with Jesus, and there is no sin there. If we were to go and be there, well, it wouldn't be without sin anymore, would it? because we are sinful. We are broken. We would track sin all inside this beautiful, amazing, perfect home. That's where we circle back around to that great love we have in Jesus. Because Jesus so wants us to be able to be in that home with him that he provided a way that we could be with him. These words that Jesus speaks to his disciples, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He speaks them the night before he goes to the cross. And there on the cross, he will die. And not just a natural death, although he will certainly suffer that as well. There on the cross, he will allow God the Father to pour out on him all of the wrath, all of the judgment, all of the wages of our sins, mine and yours, that will be poured out on Jesus. And because of it, he would die. God would die for us to save us from our sins and to make a place, a home with him in heaven. Jesus rose again 3 days later. And after a short time, returned to heaven, where even now he's preparing that place for us. But we want to understand that if we want to be there with him, it doesn't happen automatically. We're still sinful. We're still broken. And he's not going to force it on us. You see, there's this gift that he wants to give us, a gift, that home, that opportunity to be with him, to be saved. But like any other gift, you do have to accept it. We started with this gift, right? How many of you were chomping at the bit to come up and accept this gift? It was here. It was available to any of you. Only one of you was brave enough to come up and open it. Well, let us not forget that the same is true with the salvation we have in Christ. It's there. It's available to everyone, but only those that are willing to accept it will receive the blessing of it. And I hope and I pray that all of you here, and those of you worshiping with us from home, that you have accepted that gift of Christ, the Messiah, and the home that he has for us this Christmas season. But if you're here with us or you're worshiping with us from home and you haven't, there's no better time to accept that gift than now. The gift not only of a home in eternity with the Lord, but the gift of his love and support and strength and care right now in each and every one of our lives. If you'd like to receive that gift, you don't have to work for it or earn it or bargain for it. That's not the way gifts work. You just receive it. The way we receive this gift is by placing our faith and trust in Jesus. Now, sometimes we like to say a prayer to put that faith into words, although it's not a prayer that saves anybody, it's that faith. But if you'd like to express that faith before the Lord today, why don't you follow along with me wherever you are as we bow together in prayer. If you wanted to do that, you might pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you came into our world that very first Christmas. I believe that you willingly died for the forgiveness of our sins. I believe that God the Father raised you on the third day. I believe that because of your work, I have a home with you now and forever. Gracious Heavenly Father, we all come before you with gratitude in our hearts this Christmas season. Thank you for the gift of Christ. Thank you for the home that you have for us. Thank you for the love that's there even now. this Christmas season, Lord, there are many things that might pull our attention and focus. But Lord, right here and right now, we want to give you all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the thanks, and all the praise for your great love for us. We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen.